Welcome to the new reality edition of Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, where we serve you the first bite of today's science, technology, and innovation. I'm Bert Lam, and today's show, we're going to be featuring Kim Davidson. She's with PEKU, and she's the president and agency lead. And we got May Sermonia. She's PEKU's internship program director. And, of course, we'll find out what exactly is PEKU and how is it building a talent pool for the tech sector. So, Kim and May, I want to welcome you both to Bite Marks Cafe.
Awesome. Thank you for having us. We're super excited to be here.
Well, you know, I'm excited to have you both on. And PEKU, you know, I was quite thrilled that I got a chance to experience your first anniversary. And that took place just a couple weekends ago. And Kim, why don't you tell us about the great accomplishment, you know, getting to one year old?
Yeah, it's been a really exciting year. So far, we've run two internship cohorts. We've worked with a total of, I think, 9 companies. We're currently preparing for our third cohort, and we're also starting to expand our work from 8-week internships into longer cross-functional engagements.
And that's great.
So it's been a really great year, and we're excited for next year.
And really, you know, let me back up a little bit. There was a name for PEKU before PEKU, right? And and there has been sort of a brand change and a sort of an image change. But maybe you can start off on saying a little bit about what was it that was the sort of like the first iteration of this, and what problem were you trying to solve, you know, and what sort of precipitated this sort of brand change?
Sure. So we started out as a circular design internship, and the idea is that we were matching folks who were interested in design careers, so folks who had done certificate programs or boot camps, and were trying to get their first jobs in design and tech. But a problem we kept running into is that you need to have some experience to get a job. You need to have already had a job to get a job, which, you know, was putting people in this catch-22 where they just couldn't break into the field. And so what the circular design internship did was we matched people who were interested in design careers with companies that had design challenges. And we also know that one of the reasons that a lot of companies don't take on interns is because it takes a lot of work to mentor interns, and they don't have the capacity to do that. So we got third-party mentors, experienced local folks in tech, matched them with the interns, and then matched those groups with the companies. And that's how we ran our first internship. So our first, the first cohort was actually run almost single-handedly by Carlo Liquido, who's the founder. He did that pretty much by himself. Mm-hmm. And May, who's on the call, was also in the first cohort. And we were so excited about the work that happened in that first cohort that we said, we've got to do it again. And Carlo said, well, I can't do it again alone. And we said, well, don't worry, we're all in. And he put together a team, and a bunch of us helped out to get our second cohort going. We added on a bunch of other programming, a bunch of other training. We put the interns in pairs. We got partnered with Blue Startups and also FarmLink, and we ran another cohort, this time more partnered. And that was round two. And after we did that, we said, well, are we going to keep going? What's next? And a few of us decided to really commit to making this happening, to getting more local folks into tech and to expanding from just into engineering and product management and project management and trying to get onto larger, longer-term, more cross-functional projects. And so when we decided to do that, we decided that we were no longer the circular design internship, and it was time for a new name and a new mission, and that's when we relaunched as PEKU. It means transpiration. So it's the moment in the water cycle where the water has come down as rain, gone through the soil, gone to plants, moved up through the plant, gone into the leaves, and is getting evaporated back into the water cycle. And that's how we think about what PEKU is doing, which is raising up this talent through these plants, sending them back to the water cycle, and we hope back as either mentors themselves and their senior, or as folks who start their own companies and contribute back to the tech ecosystem here. We want to stick with that sort of circular regenerative theme in our relaunch.
You know, that's a really great story, and it's a great visual as well. And I think even the, you know, the name peku.co, which is the URL, and there's even a story behind CO, right? Because sometimes you would say, oh, yeah, the CO just means company or something. But there's a story behind the CO. And can you, Kim, why don't you tell me the story about CO?
Yeah, we knew sort of just kind of from a punchy branding side that we wanted a second word. And we had a hard time kind of coming up with one because there were lots of different sort of messages that we wanted to get across.
Mm-hmm.
What we ended up with was CO, which is usually an abbreviation for company.
Right.
But in our case, it's not short for company. We say it's short for all of our favorite words. Community, collaboration, congregating, conspiring, co-designing, it's cooperating.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, we think of it as an invitation to work with us, to partner, and to build things together.
And then, you know, when you look at it, it also, it has the C with the O kind of embedded in it. And there is that sort of feeling like it's like nurturing and incubating a seed that it gets you know, kind of germinated into something bigger and better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me pass that to May. So May actually did our brand design. So I'll let her talk more about
that. Oh, good, May, because I wanted to try to get you in here, and I wanted to, and I didn't want to wait for the internship part of it. But yeah, so May, what's the story behind the C with the O kind of embedded in it?
Yeah, there's a lot of symbolism if you look deep into our logo design here. And so one thing I was thinking about as we were building the logo was like, how can we create a symbolism for our community and the kind of work that we're doing? So I'm trying to actually find the image here in our LinkedIn that speaks to it, but it's a lot of what you're saying. So the circle is kind of like, if you look at us holistically, like you as a seed, as a person, you're surrounded by a community of people who are here to support you. And that's kind of why you stand out. You're not alone. You're part of something bigger than yourself. There's also like the circle as a dot, like the period represents circular design. Just like a little ode to what we used to be. We're still cyclical. We are still, we have roots that we've grown from. And I think that that is most of it.
Yeah, you know, it actually kind of looks too like a, you know, how you have a, you drop a stone in the pond or a water, and it sort of creates a little ripple effect. And, you know, the C and the O kind of has that feeling like it's a, you know, it's a drop in the water that kind of ripples out. So I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah. And the orange also, if you look at our logo, so it's kind of like, it looks like a donut, but it's really two circles. And it kind of represents like us being a part of a larger circle. We're all just kind of part of a larger cycle, and we're just trying to do what we can to make an impact and to grow wherever we're placed.
Well, that's a great visual, and I do want to continue and talk a little bit about the internship program, because it's kind of the key you know, function of what PEKU does. So going to hold that thought. We'll be right back at this short break to continue our conversation with both Kim Davison and May Sermonia, and they're both with PEKU. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributors Honolulu Waldorf School and Nohea Gallery.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Bert Lum. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Kim Davison. She's the PEKU President and Agency Lead, and May Sermonia. And she is Sermonia, and she is the internship program director over at PEKU. And right before the break, May was sharing a little bit about the design, the brand, the kind of the new look and feel for, you know, the organization, which is just past its one year anniversary. And as a nonprofit, I think it's a really kind of a great achievement. And this idea behind the intern, where there's a great opportunity for people who want to break into this business of design, and May, I want you to explain, you know, what is UX and UI, because I sometimes use it and people don't know what I'm talking about, and you know, the the problem that you're trying to solve is to try to help folks that want to break into the business, get them enough of a, you know, kind of a starting, let's say, launch pad for their portfolio, so that, you know, when they do go in for that big project or job, you know, at a corporation, you know, they can impress somebody. So anyway, so what I'd like to, you know, have you kind of share is what goes into this internship program. And you kind of mentioned that there is some resources, some curriculum. It's a kind of a 12-week activity. So what is it that you put folks through, and maybe share a little bit about what the qualifications are for people to potentially apply?
Yeah, totally. No, this is my heart and soul kind of work. I'm really excited to tell people about the program. So our program is 12 weeks, and the way that we've designed it is in the first couple of weeks, we spend a lot of time doing basic foundational review, just like how much do you know about Figma? Figma is a tool that we use to prototype these applications and design the apps. How much do you know about client risk management? You know, we want to make sure you're set up for success. Here are like the different worksheets that we have where you can track your risk, where you can create your project timelines with your clients. Here's like meeting etiquette and stuff like that. The main design sprint is weeks kind of like 1 through 8. And so for each of those weeks, we focus on a different skill, particularly in the design process. And so for the first couple of weeks, you're learning about how to scope a project. You know, what does this company need? What do they need to build? What features are they looking? What problems are they trying to solve? After that, we teach our interns how to do research. Who are the customers that they're trying to build for? You know, what is the market that they're trying to build into? And this is all like in the perspective of the client. Like, how are we servicing them? How are we helping them be successful with their own product? After our interns understand what the market is, understand what the client needs are, we start going into like this lo-fi, so low fidelity part of the program, where they start building the basic parts of the website or basic parts of the app, getting an understanding of like how to manage that with a client. What are they looking for? Is this really what your app should do? Is this the experience? The lo-fi part is much more of the UX, so user experience. Mm-hmm. You know, what buttons are they clicking? How are they getting there? What happens when you do this? Is this an easy function to do for people who have accessibility needs? And so that's kind of that explanation. And once we all align on those needs, we move into like the high fidelity phase. So those are hi-fis, and that's where UI, user interface, comes into play. What color should this button be? How big should it be? What kind of typography should we use for the header versus the button? And so UI is much more visual. Mm-hmm. How does it look? And UX is like, how does it work? Is it functional? What happens when I do this thing? So by the end of basically 8 weeks, we have built a prototype that these companies can use, particularly for blue startups. A lot of these companies are looking to launch something that is usable at the end of their program, their cohort. And so it's really excited for us to collaborate and build with them something that is maybe brand new.
You know, and what you're describing is a real kind of not only a process. I mean, it's a need. And as you just described, it could be an application. It could be a website. And if, you know, like a blue startup tech company, they have some application that they want to get out, you know, out to market. I mean, this process that you just described is really kind of a key thing that will then perhaps influence the usability of this application.
Yeah.
So I understand that you folks kind of have a relationship with blue startups in support of some of their companies, right?
Yeah. In the second cohort, we've managed to build, I think, four out of the 10 total companies that were in that cohort. And a lot of them have been able to secure additional funding outside of the blue startups programming. And so our tools are being used at scale, like the things that we are building are being used, and it's just really exciting to see, both from the client side and from the intern perspective as well, like knowing that you have a legacy now, like you, the work that you put out is real. The work that you've done is real, and you are now a designer.
Mm-hmm. Now, Kim, when you started, I guess back when it was circular design, and May kind of showed up at your doorsteps wanting to be an intern, I mean, and maybe, you know, between the two of you, how did you kind of like take that sort of initial interest in the program and connect her with the right sort of company that provided, or maybe the mentor that provided the guidance, you know, in that first sort of cohort? And maybe between the two of you, I'm kind of curious, you know, how did that bloom into now May, you're, you know, kind of like really kind of managing the whole intern program. So anyway, so yeah. Kim, what was it that, how did you connect with May in the early days of, you know, before it was PE Cool?
So I actually didn't jump in until the second cohort. I was watching this all happen as it was coming together, mm-hmm. and just thought it was so awesome that I ended up getting involved in the second cohort. So I wasn't actually there when May joined, but I did get to come to the final project, mm-hmm. and it was part of why I joined, just the final projects were so impressive and so exciting that I was like, I just got to be a part of this. And at the time, the program was wondering if it was so much work to put together,
yeah.
of whether it would be able to keep going on the sort of shoestring folks just volunteering a little bit of time. And May can talk more about this, but after going through it, was just so passionate about the project that we decided it was important that it keep happening. And we decided that we were going to commit and make sure that it kept happening. A little bit about like how the mentors do get matched. The way we do it now is we've got an official sign up, you know, a registration form. People apply. We take a look at their applications. The primary thing that we're looking for is some design experience at all, whether it's a certificate or a boot camp or self-taught, mm-hmm. Or doing it as part of another job, any exposure at all, any experience working with a design process and design tools. And then our mentors, and so we're looking for folks with those kind of experiences, and then also folks with a deep connection to Hawaii. So we're looking for either Native Hawaiian folks in the diaspora or locally, and we're also looking for Kama'aina with a deep connection to Hawaii. It's really important to us that this program be about building up local talent and building up a really homegrown tech ecosystem. And then mm-hmm. we're also looking for in our mentors, we pull largely from our own networks since we all work in design, trying to also pull people with deep connections to Hawaii so we can match them with our interns who have deep connections to Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're looking for matches of skills, matches of projects, matches of interest, folks who are interested in, say, sustainability or interested in, you know, business operations, people who are interested in hospitality. And we make sure that we match up as much as we can interests, and then depending on the nature of the project, match up mentors that make sense for those projects. And it's probably really just an outcome of all of our interns being amazing people and all of our mentors being amazing people, but the kind of matches that we've seen in the relationships that they build are really pretty magical.
Well, you know, I do want to hear kind of May's perspective of getting that first interest in getting involved and, you know, finding it. I think probably at that point it was mostly Carlo, and how did you guys kind of hook up and really... That was kind of the, in a way, kind of the genesis story for you, May. Well, hold that thought. We'll be right back after this short break to continue our conversation with Kim Davidson and May Sermonia, and they're both from PE Cool. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor Ulupono Initiative.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe. I'm Bert Lum, right here on Hawaii Public Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Kim Davidson. She is with PE Cool. She's the president and agency lead. And we have May Sermonia. And she is PE Cool's internship program. And right before the break, I wanted to kind of give May a chance to explain how did, you know, kind of a little bit of a genesis story about how she wanted to be an intern. I mean, was there something that you really wanted to get involved in that kind of unleashed the creative side of your you know, desire in UX, UI? And what was it that Carlo kind of presented that made you want to join the cohort?
Yeah, and that's a great question. I'm a career changer, and so I have a long history of doing admin work. Mm-hmm. And it's wonderful, and I love it. But I've always thought design was a hobby, and maybe a lot of people can relate to that. Oh, I just paint, or oh, you know, I just do this on the side. But it became a real interest for me after the pandemic, and I was like, I should pursue this wholly. And in Hawaii, I didn't know that there were communities that worked on this, that like did design and tech, until I found UXHI.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how I stumbled on Carlo's post, where he was like, I'm hosting an internship. It's free, which was cool. You know, I had a full-time job at the time. I couldn't pay for another program. And I just was like excited to give this a real shot. Because nobody will give you a shot if you don't have any experience. It's mm-hmm. exactly what Kim is saying. And so I went through the application process. We did an interview. And I was really excited about having a mentor. And I think that's really key for our program, is a lot of these boot camps have mentorships, but it's like one mentor to 20 people, 30 people. Our program is you have one mentor for two people. And so that exposure and that guidance is so important. For a lot of people who feel like imposter syndrome or who really don't know what they're doing because they've never done it before. And that was a big draw for me, mm-hmm. is having somebody I can ask questions to who knows me personally, who could refer me out and say, hey, I worked with her. She is driven. She is capable. And I can vouch for her.
And may know that you're a seasoned participant in this whole sort of mentorship and internship program. How many interns are typically the ideal size of the cohort?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, as we're growing, we're still trying to figure that out. But historically, our cohorts have been around like 10 people. Mm-hmm. Now that we're partnering with Blue officially, Blue Startups, that number could change depending on how many companies they decide to take on. But I'd say for our bandwidth, around maybe 10 to 16 is what we're looking at.
And of those 10, I mean, your sort of creation story sounded pretty interesting as a career changer. You know, people who want to really develop that sort of latent talent that they might have, and this is an opportunity to do that. Do you see, in terms of like the 10, are there people that are more, let's say, wanting to do a career change, or are they, you know, coming out of like a communications curriculum out of UH, and they, you know, they want to now kind of get into that design world? What do you see as a cross section?
Yeah, we see a good mix of people. We see a lot of people who are trying to do a career change. Some people in education.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen in our program some people who are services industry who want to give this a shot because they've heard of it but have never tried. I think we've had like one or two folks who are graduates from UH who like went through the who had courses on this and then joined our program and now do design. And so it kind of runs the gamut. And we're not really picky about the background experience. We just want to make sure that people have strong ties and, you know, kind of align to our values, mm-hmm. too, like the mission that we're trying to push forward.
And Kim, you know, when looking for not only mentors, but companies that perhaps would be the you know, how you have the equation, right? You're sort of creating all these talent pool that is coming out of the cohort program, and you want to have someplace that they can land, and so you want to create sort of that demand, because you don't want to have this great supply but no demand. Kim, what is it that you're doing to see what kinds of companies out there ready to sort of absorb some of this supply that you're creating?
Yeah, one of the really cool things about tech is that the jobs are in a lot of places. So even if we didn't have the demand here yet, and we do have it, there are a lot of jobs are remote. So we're not just looking at a local demand for talent. We're looking at a global demand for talent. So we can place folks at big tech. We can place folks at Silicon Valley startups. So they can really be anywhere that's hiring remotely. And we also do have local companies. So we've got some of our the places where our folks have interned have also wanted to continue to retain that talent. So they've worked as contractors. There's also a whole world out there of contract work. So companies that have a project or two that's sort of limited term, and they're looking for someone who can really augment their team and get that design work done. So our folks are really running the gamut of where they end up. And then we have folks who start off in contract and then move to full-time. So it's a combination of local, continental companies with local offices, contract remote, contract local, contract to full-time.
Well,
what we love about it is there are a lot of options.
Well, I like the fact that you have that sensibility of not necessarily creating the demand that contributes to the brain drain, and that there is a conscientious sort of effort to find opportunities where people can stay in Hawaii and still work remotely and work for companies that perhaps have a real challenge, you know, in terms of, or maybe, you know, a creative challenge or something that's really enticing, but they don't have to leave to work on it. I mean, that's great.
Yeah, and that was the whole impetus in the first place, was that, you know, people should be able to leave if they want to, but if they don't want to, they shouldn't have to. And these are the kinds of jobs that you can do from here for companies that are somewhere else. And then we also sort of imagine building up an ecosystem here where once the talent is here, then the folks who are looking for more experienced talent, once we establish this pool here, they won't have to go hire remotely or bring people in from the continent. They won't, they'll be able to pull from a local pool. And we also know that once that local pool becomes experienced technologists, like, that's who starts new companies, who then will create more demand. So we're really staying in this, like, thinking about the, you know, our water cycle metaphor, our circular design beginnings, making sure that we're creating a regenerative ecosystem.
And Kim, May, when's the next, I guess, application opening for the next cohort?
Yeah, our application is actually live right now. It'll be open through the end of May. You can check out our website, piiku.co, piiku.co, and then the internship page will have the link to the application and more information on that.
Well, very good, and I'm glad you answered the question that I was going to ask you, which is the URL, and of course, I'll put that up on our show notes for later on this evening. Kim Davison is PIIKU's president and agency lead, and May Sermonia is the PIIKU internship program director, and I want to mahalo both of you for joining me today. This is really terrific, and of course, thank you for listening to Bite Marks Cafe. Join us next week when we'll talk about creating content from the founder of Keep It Aloha podcast. If you miss any part of this edition, you can find the podcast of tonight's show on bitemarkscafe.org. And of course, our engineer is David Chong. You can catch us on HPR One every Wednesday or anytime via the HPR app or your favorite podcast application. In the meantime, you stay safe, you stay awesome. We'll see you next week on another edition of Bite Marks Cafe.